please join us. Call 844-967-2789 if you're out there, if you have questions, because the next half hour we are going to be spending with Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. And Law Forward and Jeff Mandel are on the cutting edge of all the election issues facing the state of Wisconsin. Welcome, Jeff. And before we get into the nuts and bolts, can you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what is Law Forward?
Sure. Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the invitation. I am a lawyer in Madison. I work at a commercial law firm, and I moved to Madison about 7 years ago with my family, looking for radical lifestyle change in a place that we could raise our kids and that would reflect our values. What we found when we got here is that we love Wisconsin and we love Madison, but the democracy was really under attack. And over the last several years, about 3 years now, I've gotten increasingly involved in using my litigation skills to try to protect, advance democracy here in Wisconsin. And Law Forward is our new way of doing that. About a year and a half ago, we created Law Forward. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan, 501c3 organization that works using litigation and public education to help protect and advance democracy here in Wisconsin. And that means all kinds of things, from redistricting to voting rights to making sure that our government works for people, and also to going around the state to the extent that we can these days during COVID, but talking to people about democracy, about governance, and about the fact and the consequences of Wisconsin being sort of the epicenter of this assault on democracy that we're seeing around the country.
So just in terms of, you know, focusing, Law Forward has been involved in lawsuits as it relates to the new maps and the whole gerrymandering issue. It's been involved with the former Justice Gableman whole issue in terms of looking at the 2020 elections. And it's also been involved in the recent litigation talking about drop boxes, or as my mom would say, Mark, are you going to be a felon if you take my ballot to the mailbox for me? Because she's 90 and she's upstairs, and without me, she can't do anything. So I'm hoping we could sort of cover those tonight. And how about if you start out with the whole gerrymandered maps issue? Where are we at and what is happening? And, you know, what can the public expect in the next few months or few weeks, actually?
Sure. It's a little bit, the timing is always uncertain when you're dealing with courts because they work on their own time frame. But it is my hope that within the next couple of weeks, by the end of this month or early in February, we will hear from the Wisconsin Supreme Court about what the legislative maps look like. And let me take a step back and explain so that we're all on the same page about what's happening. Every 10 years, the United States has a census. We count all the people in the country, and we do that for a number of reasons. But one of the things that happens after each census is that we reapportion how we break up our government, our legislative districts and our government services. We make sure that each state has the right number of members in the House of Representatives, because, of course, in the Senate, every state gets two senators, but how we divide up those 435 members of the House of Representatives is based on population. It's weighted by how many people are in each state. So we look at the counts and we make sure that the proportions are correct, and we move people around. We don't move residents around. We move around some of our representatives and some of our Congress members. And we do the exact same thing at the state level, at the county level, and at the local level. So here in Wisconsin, our legislature has 99 members in the Assembly and 33 members in the Senate. And when we look at that census data for the state of Wisconsin, we figure out where in the state is growing in terms of population, where in the state people are moving away from, and we draw new maps so that each district is approximately equal, and every district and every voter has an equal say in how our government works. So that's the process we're going through, and that's what we talk about when we're talking about redistricting or apportionment. It's a process that's required by the Wisconsin Constitution and the United States Constitution. And ideally, the way this works is that the legislature and the governor sit down and they do this through legislation, just like any other legislative process. If you think back to Schoolhouse Rock, right? And I'm Just a Bill. The legislature draws the maps, they take public comment, and they hear from their constituents about what's important. They work with experts, because this is fairly complicated stuff, and they draw correct maps, they debate them, they vote on them, and they send them to the governor for the governor's signature. And if the governor signs them, they become laws, they become a law, and that's the new map. But Wisconsin has a history. More often than not, in Wisconsin, the legislature is controlled by one political party, the governor is controlled by another political party, and they haven't been able to agree on what those maps should look like. And that's what happened here this year. The legislature passed maps and the governor vetoed them. Now, what's important to know, Mark, is that, and I know you know this, a decade ago was actually an exception to our general rule here in Wisconsin. Governor Walker had just been elected to lead the state from the governor's office, and the Republicans had just taken over the legislature, and so we had unified control. And what they did is they passed a map, the entire purpose of which was to reorient the state of Wisconsin strongly in favor of the Republican Party. That map, the legislative map here in Wisconsin that was passed in 2012, is one of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders. That's the legal and historical term we use for this. It's a gerrymander when you try to rig the maps to help one side or one group at the expense of others.
Yeah, and it's one of the most... Jeff, if I'm not mistaken, right, it was so gerrymandered and rigged, there was actually a panel of judges that found it was unconstitutional, right?
That's exactly right. It was so preposterously gerrymandered that there was a lawsuit in federal court brought by my friend and colleague, Doug Poland. And Doug was able to show through the presentation of evidence in court that it was so rigged that it was unconstitutional. Right. And that panel, I know a lot of people can be cynical about judges and things. This was a panel of three federal judges, two of whom were appointed by Republican presidents, one of whom was appointed by a Democratic president. And that panel, by a majority, found that the map was unconstitutional, that it was so egregiously partisan that it violated the United States Constitution. The U.S. Supreme Court later decided, a couple of years later in a case from North Carolina, that the federal constitution actually doesn't deal with these issues, and that you cannot go to a federal court to deal with a partisan gerrymander. And so here we are now, and the court, we've got a situation in 2021, we've got a new census, the legislature and the governor can't agree on what the maps should look like, and when that happens, you need a court to step in and help draw the maps. So we, on behalf of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, Voces de la Frontera, the League of Women Voters, and several individuals, filed a lawsuit in federal court asking the federal court to step in and help Wisconsin figure out what the map should look like. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the same day, filed a lawsuit in the state Supreme Court asking the state court to step in and decide what the map should look like. The state court has not drawn maps in this state in 60 years. About 20 years ago, the state court discussed whether it should do this more often and tried to set some rules for how it would do this. Because as I said, this is a complicated, difficult process. This is not a normal lawsuit. And at that time, a number of members of the Supreme Court said quite clearly that they thought this was a terrible idea. It should be done in the federal courts where the judges serve for life, where they don't face electoral and political challenges. But those same justices all of a sudden this year, when it was the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and conservatives who wanted them to redraw the maps, all of a sudden this year, they reversed course and they said they would draw the maps. And so what happened, and this is all a long way to trying to answer your question of what happens next. Last Wednesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments all day. We believe it's the longest oral arguments the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ever heard in state history. They heard arguments all day about what these maps should look like. And they heard from lawyers for the legislature and their proposal for the maps, from the governor and his proposal for the maps, from the Senate minority leader, Senator Buley, and her proposal for the maps. They heard from us and our clients, our nonprofit, nonpartisan organizations' proposals for the maps. And they are weighing which of these maps should be adopted. They could, of course, try to draw their own map, but as I've said, it's very technical. And we're expecting a decision in the next week or two. And that's going to tell us a lot about what politics and what governance in this state are going to look like over the next decade. And it's also going to tell us a lot about whether the litigation is really over. Because depending on what the Wisconsin Supreme Court does with these maps, there may or may not be further litigation before we know what the legislative districts in Wisconsin really look like for the next 10 years.
So, I you know, this is a complicated issue. And I had a chance to listen in on for some of the arguments just to try to get a feel of it. But for people listening out there, generally, if I understand it right, there is the preliminary ruling by a majority of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is that they were going to try to have least changes, right? In other words, they're starting from the presumption that the old maps were constitutional and why change them? And if they're gerrymandered, they're gerrymandered. And so from your vantage point, what are you hoping the best case scenario is for democracy in the state?
Well, you're exactly right, Mark, that the court made a really unfortunate and unconstitutional preliminary decision that required every party submitting maps to submit maps that made the least possible changes from the maps that exist now, the highly gerrymandered ones that we talked about, so that they would then reallocate the population equally among the districts. That's, I say, unconstitutional because the Wisconsin Constitution is quite clear that every 10 years, and this is the language in the Constitution, we shall apportion anew. We're supposed to start with a blank page. That's what the Constitution says. It's what we've always done. But the court said no. The court told us we had to start with the old maps, no matter how gerrymandered they were. And that really constrained the ability of the parties to come to the court and present fair maps that would really serve the state of Wisconsin as well as possible. However, even within that least changes framework that handicaps and handcuffs us, there are different ways to draw the maps. And some of them are substantially fairer and better than others. So that's what we're fighting about right now. And that's what we're hoping to learn from the court. And the key issue, I think, for you and your listeners to focus on is about race. In 1965, the United States Congress recognized that the only way we were going to move toward racial fairness in this country was to make sure that minority communities did not have their votes diluted. Because what had happened across our history is that when legislatures had the opportunity to draw new districts, they would disperse minority communities across those districts so that white candidates always won. And so the Voting Rights Act of 1965 sets out the criteria and the framework for when we need to make sure that we do not dilute minority communities so that they can elect their candidates, so that they have a full opportunity to elect the candidates of their choice. And what the census data that came out last year show is that we need 7 minority opportunity districts, black opportunity districts in the Milwaukee area. Right now, the state of Wisconsin has 6, and the plan that the legislature has put forward would only have 5. So the biggest thing to watch for in this decision is, what does the court say about the Voting Rights Act? And does it follow that command to have 7 Black opportunity districts? Obviously, how you redraw the districts around Milwaukee has sort of domino effect for the districts in other parts of the state, because every time you draw a line, it shapes the district next to it as well, which then shapes the district next to that. But that's Jeff, the key issue.
Jeff, I'm sorry to jump in here, but I just want to let you know we're going to message. We'll be back. And then we just think through what you want to say in 10 seconds to wrap that up. But then I want to get into former Justice Gableman and the state today. Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.